2017 AFL Pride Match Celebration, live on Joy 94.9 from Sydney. Listen, are proud to sponsor this Joy broadcast and delighted to give ongoing support to a community-driven radio station such as Joy 94.9.
Who has joined us on the stage now? I can see someone in a
Angie Green in her rainbow cape.
And with her is Human Rights Commissioner Ed Santa. So welcome to you both.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, it's delightful, isn't it? We saw you last year. And Ed, welcome to the first time for this Pride game, or this second game.
Are you a Sydney Swans supporter, Ed? You're wearing the Rainbow Swans scarf.
I am. Goodness. I support equality first and
we're
the Swans second.
We're inclusive, so I'll let you in.
just for tonight. I'm also a huge fan, so I was lucky enough to come and sit in on this interview as well.
Even though you
are a Swans supporter, it hurts a little bit, but we'll move on. So you are currently Commissioner. You've been working in the role for almost a year. You've been working on marriage equality and other human rights issues, and as I've noted, you commenced your role in August 2016. So tell me, how important do you think the AFL Pride game is in providing for visibility in LGBTI folk in the Australian sporting landscape?
Oh, look, I think it's huge and hugely positive. I mean, we're told all the time in Australia that the sporting field is where you can find, you know, a highfalutin person like the Prime Minister or a more low-ranking person like a human rights lawyer. but I think the reality for a lot of people is different. And a lot of people, including in the LGBTI community, don't feel as welcome as they should be in sport. And this is a really great way to counteract that.
Exactly. It can start to open up discussions as well, can start to challenge views. As you know, in human rights law, that there's currently those 9 core human rights instruments. Do you think it's time for one that recognises the rights of the LGBTIQ community?
Look, I think so. I mean, I think there's some fantastic work that's being done. We celebrate this year the 10th anniversary of the Yogyakarta Principles, which show how all of those other human rights treaties can apply to LGBTI people. The next step, I think, would be to have a dedicated treaty.
Yes, I agree. It was a huge step as well with the rights of the persons with disabilities, so hopefully that would be the next step, and even though it's an international instrument, that hopefully is something that Australia would ratify. But as we know, we're at the game tonight, so do you think that also games like this can also have an impact on the debate regarding marriage equality and steps forward in other areas for the community?
Yeah, I mean, I think debates like marriage equality, I think, are best when you have ordinary people talking to each other about how it truly affects them. I think that's one of the best parts of the debate. Obviously, there are some more difficult parts of the debate, but at an event like this where you have a really diverse collection of people, you can actually have some of those conversations and people can really learn what it truly means not to be able to get married.
And just on the Pride game, I know that there's been a lot of debate about, you know, does sport need this, is it necessary and what have you. I can personally say from a very professional sporting family who also has a gay family member, that last year in the St Kilda Pride game, that is the first time that my brother actually attended an AFL game, and it was because it was the first time that he knew that he would be included, celebrated, and just could feel completely welcome, which I think the Pride game is all about.
And visible.
And what I might say is Angie's sporting royalty. So when she says a sporting family, she truly means it.
Her father played 3 premierships for Hawthorn.
Yeah, her father, Russell Green, Hawthorn and St Kilda player. Her brother Stephen, played for Hawthorn for 5 years. Her grandfather is Frank Sedgman, of Australia's greatest tennis players. Angie can't, you know, throw a stone, but apart from
absolutely not. But he's passionate.
And it is Angie's second brother who you really have created stand-up events. It would be been inspired by him to create it. Would that be right?
Yeah, absolutely. I always say that it's definitely not one motivation. So, I grew up in a very sporting family, as you've just mentioned, and had a gay brother who intentionally excluded himself from male team-dominated sports because he didn't feel welcome, which was really hard to witness. I've also got 2 gay cousins, a gay godfather. Not that that...
Gay. Oh, coming out of the green.
You know what?
Like, straight. Like,
man, what happened to you? What went wrong?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But the thing is that, you know, that has absolutely where I've grown my passion from a very young age. But as you grow older, you just observe society and witness that sport isn't the most inclusive and equal space for everyone, and that absolutely has to change.
And so you're talking about obviously inclusion in sport, marriage equality. Are there other issues that the LGBTIQ community has told you in your work as a human rights commissioner?
Yeah, I mean, I had the great fortune to hear Emily Rowe speak yesterday.
She's amazing.
Coming up on the broadcast.
You'll see her in the
interview. Fantastic. Yeah. A good plug for that. she's an Aussie rules player who happens to be trans. The issue of trans people being welcome in sport is really important. Mm. The former vice president of the United States said that the biggest civil rights issue of our time is transgender issues. Mm. I think we're only just at the cusp of truly grasping what that means and removing some of the completely boneheaded barriers for trans people to be able to participate in sport, but also all other areas of life as well.
Mm. And we need those governmental and non-governmental organisations to start to promote that inclusion and that equality.
That's really, right. At the end of the day, it's just that all people are people and they deserve equal and inclusiveness as everyone else.
Yes, like, sing it.
And it seems so simple. Yeah, preach, bitch! You know, like, but that's what it is. Like, we're all people and we all deserve to have equality and inclusion like everyone else.
Mm. It seems so simple, doesn't it?
It is.
When there's five of us who agree.
Yeah, preaching's great.
It's funny though, I've been engaging with people on social media. I like to have a social media rant sometimes with people with different beliefs than mine. And, you know, people are saying, oh, this is a political agenda, you know, you're pushing your agenda.
What, the pride game?
The pride game. Yeah. And, you know, I was saying, well, actually, it's just about people feeling welcome at the football. But what do you say to people that, you know, that you hear that a lot? You know, the AFL's preaching at people, this is going on. But,
what I would personally say is that the game doesn't change. Like, if you don't relate to the rainbow or pride and inclusion and what have you, just ignore it. The game doesn't change. But for so many, it means so much to so many people. As I said, like, last year was the first time that I've ever been to an AFL game with my brother because he felt included. So it's like, what does it mean for other people? And that's what matters.
If we look to our recent history, I mean, I think you're going to be speaking to Tyler Winmar, a little bit later. You know, his dad, it's now almost a quarter of a century since he did that amazing act representing St Kilda, where he pointed to his skin to highlight the fact that he was a proud Aboriginal man. And that he was being treated incredibly unfairly and really hurtfully. Now, I think we've made huge strides in that area, but it needed work, right? It wasn't
correctness really
thing. It really needed work, and I think that's exactly what we're, you know, really starting to do here with LGBTI people.
Well, thanks for promoting our future guests through your questions, Emma.
I mean, you say, you know, it's 25 years since Nicky Winmar did that. Then we still have the Adam Good situation three years ago.
Yeah,
that's right. And you just go, oh, it's like 10 steps forward and then a couple back. Mm. And just going on what you said before about you went to the footy for the first time with your brother last year.
Yeah.
Is he riding this wave as well, or is he still feeling a bit, holding himself back a bit?
He's still a little bit back, to be honest, because, like, and as I've always said, and with the charity that we run, like, it shouldn't take just one game. Like, absolutely every game and every single sporting culture should be for absolutely everyone. And we're not there yet. So, I mean, apart from last year, I haven't been to a game with him. And a lot still has to change. Like, absolutely last year caused a debate and a conversation, which is wonderful. Like, these kind of games absolutely spark that. But it shouldn't have to take a game or a match for everyone to feel included in sport.
But I'm glad it exists, because for some people it is making that real difference, isn't it? A game like this.
Absolutely.
And my plan, you know, or if anyone's listening.
Yeah.
My plan is that, you know, hopefully within 5 years this is around.
Mm. Yep.
So everyone who goes to the football that weekend you know, is involved in a Pride game.
And that would be wonderful.
I mean, that would be amazing.
And feel like they belong in their club and celebrated.
But also to expose it to the people that may not necessarily be exposed to LGBTIQ people.
Yeah.
And they'll and go, just realize they're quite normal. You know, they eat a pie like I do.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they wear... bomber scarf like
or
I
drink
do.
Champers, whatever. Yeah. Like, whatever you...
I mean, the thing is that since in the last 4 years, we've seen a real explosion of Pride games, you know, around Victoria and South Wales particularly. Hamilton recently had a Pride game and I think 1,000 people attended. And, two of the women's teams and a lot of the AFLW players played in that. Gippsland's having a Pride game next weekend.
Next weekend, yeah.
Hockey is having a Puck-Uta homophobia
game
tonight.
I think St Kilda Sharks
are having a game in 2 weeks' time. A whole Pride round with the netball and football club there. So it's becoming a real... Yeah, a lot of clubs are really embracing that and seeing the importance of it, which is great.
What do you think other ways forward are, if, for example, through the Commission? How do you think there are other ways that we can engage communities outside of sport as well as inside of sport? Are there educational tools? Are there frameworks in place? Are you aware of...
I mean, I think busting myths is really important. Mm. We see that a lot with the debate on marriage equality, that, you know, we're told by some people that... if we make that change to our law, then suddenly it'll be the end of the family. It'll, you know, be impossible to exercise religious freedom. Those things are just not true. So we need to have those conversations, and we need to have those conversations based on facts, not just based on emotions.
And opinion.
Exactly.
Opinion is not necessarily fact. And what about Stand Up, your company? How are you going to push forward?
Yeah, so we have just very excited. We've just exclusively partnered with Monash University to implement customised preventative programs into junior sporting codes. And the reason that being is over 50, and this is what my brother and cousins did, over 50% of non-hetero and gender diverse people exclude themselves from team-dominated sports at around the age of 14 and 15. Because they don't feel included, and I think that is so unacceptable and not right. So we've partnered with Monash to, you know, develop these programs preventative to hopefully breed a inclusive and equal culture for absolutely everyone, and that goes for language and behaviour and, you know, really starting from the grassroots that, you know, everyone should feel completely safe and welcome and not even accepted but embraced. In every area of life, starting from sport.
Wow, that's so inspiring. I'm feeling very positive.
Well, so you should. We've all got the rainbows on and it's, you know, filling us with joy.
We've had a message come in, actually, from Shannon Power. She said hearing people shout, "Yes, Queen," when they're
yes,
champions
queen!
To goal.
Yes, Queen!
Hashtag Pride Game, so thanks, Shannon. We didn't know that was happening up here, so that's great to hear.
That's wonderful.
Well, what is that now? Third...
We're heading into
the fourth quarter.
Equality is still a long way ahead, I think. And
Swans. Yeah, football and equality is winning, particularly if you're a St Kilda supporter.
And apparently so is Sydney Swans. So,
but the flag, the wind's up, so that means the flags are up. So we can see the rainbow flag, you know, on top of
that.
The members' stand.
Next to the Indigenous flag,
I just
Sydney
said,
Swans flag.
Look at that on the radio. I'm sorry.
So,
wow, I'm proud of myself.
We'll put a photo on our Twitter.
Now, I'm just going to say thank you very much to Angie Green. Thank you very much to Ed Santow for coming in tonight and chatting with us. It's been amazing. Coming to you live from the Sydney Cricket Ground, this is the 2017 Pride Game.